story when we keep going. Hi, nobody from Dr. Nick. What's up, Nick? Oh, man.
We get Nick on here, too, at some point.
Yeah. When do you want to come on, Nick? You're a fun guy, man. And I'll tell you what, I know it's probably not what you want to do, but you'd be a good time to have on this show.
Well, and Nick, you've got a particular story that I don't know, like whenever you get, if you ever get comfortable sharing it, I think that would be a really impactful story for people to hear. You know, obviously you don't have to go into details about things you don't want to, but it touches the soul, man. I'm glad you shared that with me almost a year ago at this point.
Yeah. Nick had a really interesting job too, which we won't get into tonight.
Yeah.
To say interesting is, I'll tell you what, man, one of the most unnerving jobs in all of the military, honestly. Like there's not a lot of guys that could do what he did at that point. Let me, I'm going to get on Twitter. If you're out there already and you're watching this, go out there, share the show. We are live on Bitcoin Veterans on X.
I forgot.
And, you know, every little bit, everyone that goes out there and shares this on X, it helps share the message and get people on this mission for civilians and veterans alike, which is amazing, especially in this Bitcoin community. So I'm going to take a second and do that. Share the show. Man, I'll tell you what.
There's so much going on right now. I'm desensitized to it when it comes to like every week to do the show. Like things are happening on like a 12-hour basis now that I just can't keep track. So like by the time I get to the show, I almost have to start keeping notes on what I want to talk about. Like I can't think of anything right now.
You're just, there's so much going on. You're blank.
Yeah. Like, well, desensitized, overwhelmed, whatever you, I mean, not overwhelmed. I don't think it's that, but it's just like when you have a fire hose of stuff that's happening every couple of days. Cause like, dude, and this is something I don't know if I brought this up, but you guys should start. There's an account on Twitter. His website is just Dario. I think it's just Dario.com or something like that. But his Dario CPX, I think, is his username on Twitter. He was a CPA at one point. He's been digging into the NVIDIA like AI chip trade with the markets, and the stuff that he's been digging up. Like, I legitimately think the AI chip situation is the .com bubble of this era.
Really? So,
like, Microsoft has been doing some very funny money moves with their dealings between them and OpenAI. And they're using, like, they have, like, they issued like $10 billion of like credits to OpenAI, but they're not used yet, but they're using them as a line of revenue in their 10K filings. So they're fluffing their numbers. And I'm like, what's going on here, man?
What are we doing? I don't know. I think we only got 2 minutes before we start the show. I wanted to get into the Tyson thing before. Maybe we'll open with Tyson. Matt, yeah, you good with opening with Tyson?
He's probably getting ready.
He's probably getting ready. Well,
yeah, he just got off work.
We'll do it anyway. Tonight we got Solo Satoshi with us. Matt and Hunter, if he can get his audio video straightened out before coming on. We got an hour and a half, so you know, should be able to work that out. But yeah, these guys are kicking ass and taking names, working, you know, full jobs on top of having families and launching a company. You guys are not going to want to miss, you know, this show. These guys are fantastic already. And I mean that from a guy that was probably in that position about 10 years ago now, and some change. It's like during your early 30s, man, when those kids hit, something kicks into high gear. There's some father, you know, piece that, you know, you're like, dude, I got to be better than I've ever been, and I got to make shit happen more than I ever have in my entire life. And if you do it right, you go bald, you start getting gray hairs, things start breaking a little bit.
Get riddled with knots.
But 10 years, and I'm going to tell you right now, especially in this Bitcoin space, in 10 years, what is going to happen in terms of changing your life with Bitcoin, especially if you're plugged into groups like Bitcoin Veterans that are out there taking action, it's going to change you. I mean, I look at what we've done about in a year and a half here at Bitcoin Veterans. I was just talking to our guys over at Fountain FM today. And if you guys don't know Fountain FM, go check those guys out. You can actually listen to the show on Fountain FM. You can earn sats while you're doing it. And you can provide sats to people that are creators that are, you know, creating killer content that you guys love out there. So it's a win-win situation. Fountain FM is, you know, one of those guys, you know, some of those guys that I've been in touch with for a long time. And I'll tell you right now, if you've got a podcast, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, here's a hack. These guys will increase your following on Fountain FM if you want to work with them by a large factor. I won't say exactly what it is because I don't want any false advertisement, but it's pretty incredible. Well,
looks like he's resetting his connection. Maybe he might actually have gotten home and he's getting on his laptop like he was talking about.
Yeah,
I'm really not concerned.
I'm not either. We got plenty to talk about. And when
these guys want to be here anyway, so I'm not concerned at all. There he is.
He's back. All right.
Sorry about that.
No, you're all good. Yeah.
We're gonna roll the opener. You guys hold on your butts. Bitcoin Veterans coming at you. What's happening, everybody? Bitcoin Veterans. We're Bitcoiners. We're veterans. Real simple. This is some crane eater stuff around here. We are here to put everybody back on the mission to give you purpose and passion, something to do with your life now that you're outside of whatever service you were in. A lot of guys, especially in our positions after leaving the military, sometimes struggle with finding a mission and passion. And, you know, they were, I guess, tricked like the rest of us into joining and fighting for freedom and liberty and, you know, lied to by their recruiters, I guess. And when they get out, they're just kind of struggling. They're kind of trying to find their place in the world, trying to adapt to civilian life, which is sometimes, you know, slower and not so great. And this is one of those places where you can find your brothers and sisters. Civilians are welcome here as well, especially from the Bitcoin community. If you're new, if you're old, whatever the whole thing is, we're here for you and we've got groups for you, whether it's regionally, whether it's, you know, specifically for what we're actually into, through Signal. So if you've got a passion, you've got something that's just eating away at you and you want to start something, you can go to bitcoinveterans.org and we can get you plugged in. You're going to meet all sorts of amazing people. And really the best part of Bitcoin is the people. And I got to tell you, some of the best people that I know are here at Bitcoin Veterans. So I've got Mike Hobart with me again tonight. Gabe is decorating churches for Christmas and Jordan is probably off on some special operations dad op right now. He may be joining us here in a little bit, but we do have Matt from Solo Satoshi. Man, we are absolutely thrilled to have you here tonight, man, and looking forward to telling your story and letting anybody know who doesn't already know that watches the show. I mean, you guys are a sponsor of what you guys do and why you're doing it. So, welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. We were just saying before we came in, you know, we usually warm up with some stuff and we'll get to that in a second, but I just kind of wanted to give you credit. You know, young guy, you know, in your 30s, and you've got, you know, three kids like myself out there, and you're just busting your butt right now trying to make it all work on top of this venture, which is a part-time gig in terms of Solo Satoshi, man. That's a handful.
Yeah, it gets to be a lot at times. I have a very good business partner. His name is Hunter. Him and his wife helped me out tremendously. I've been in the Bitcoin space just kind of in the background for a while now. So I've kind of watched some of the big Bitcoin empire or just big businesses rise and fall. You know, a lot of them were just untruthful with people. So We yeah. It's not for the weak. Let's just say that. Not for the weak at all.
That's the kind of messaging we like to hear at Bitcoin Veterans.
Yeah.
We don't play around with the weak stuff, man.
No, you gotta want this because you know, there's an old saying that an old guy always used to tell me, go watch what you ask for because you might just mess around and get it and not know what to do with it. And we got it right now, so we're trying to figure out what to do with it. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, I do. Especially when you're dealing with we'll get into you sharing kind of like what all you're doing with your whole daily life. But the work that you were telling us about before is like, that's something that you can definitely get a lot more of what you're asking for too. And you want to be careful with that. Cause I work with the low voltage stuff. So you're like, all I'm going to say is you got balls to the wall in a lot of areas that I don't think a lot of people understand, man. the nature of your day job. And then you're taking on Solo Satoshi and being a dad of three, like, yeah. You got cojones, man.
Yeah, being a high voltage technician is really crazy. You know, we travel around the country all the time. Of course, Texas has enough work, you know, for the whole country. But, you know, we spend majority of our time in Texas, but we go out, you know, all 50 states, man, wherever a new substation's being built, or now they're coming online with a lot of battery banks and solar farms and, you know, various different green energies. And they aren't as green as you think, but you know, if they want to pay me to if they want to pay me to put them online, I'll put them online, you know. But yeah, it's being a high voltage technician is there's really no way to explain it other than crazy.
Yeah, when we'll you and I in particular will be able to rant about the energy situation in America. But I think before we get into like that kind of stuff, we actually had a little bit of a fun topic to talk about that we were kind of like teasing before. I already know Shane's answer, and Matt, I think I already know yours, but guys, how many of you guys in the audience tried to watch the Tyson fight? And an emphasis on the try, because I don't know about you guys, but so like I was at work for it and I talked to the guys afterwards, and the most fun that we had wasn't in watching the fight. It was the struggle in trying to find a stream that worked. Everybody all over the internet, across YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, everybody's trying to a stream that would work, and because it was all compartmentalized and siloed into Netflix, it was failing across the board.
Yeah, I was at my brother's house and we were, you know, trying to watch this thing, and as you know, the round, or I should say as the undercard kept going, you know, you had more and more disruptions, you know, and those disruptions got further in, like trying to get back into to Netflix. At that point, at some point, I just took out my phone. And I started, you know, buffering it through my phone so that if the stream crashed, I could pull, you know, everything up and everybody could sit there and watch the phone. That was the most ridiculous side of it. You think, I mean, the world is tuning into this. I mean, you got to think you got to get your servers, you know, tuned up and ready for something like that. But no, not Netflix. Fuck you guys. Like,
oh, yeah, dude. I was like, you guys have been marketing this for the better part of 6 months.
Yeah.
And you didn't do the work to make sure that you had the physical hardware and infrastructure lined up in excess of what you're forecasting, because everybody knows that every forecast for stuff like this is always falls short. And you don't want to, like, don't get me wrong, I get the whole like penny pincher argument of like trying to make sure you're not spending too much. But if you're Netflix and you're trying to bust into like live sports entertainment streaming, like boxing, where you're taking the place of pay-per-view, you don't have these problems. Like you go like multiple miles beyond what you think you need to make sure you have the excess of, like, can you imagine if this would have happened and there was no buffering issue?
Oh yeah. I mean,
it's like all of Twitter was blowing up. It was like short Netflix Monday open.
We would have seen this ridiculously staged fight in real time is what we would have seen.
Yeah, that's true.
It was such a snoozer, man. It was such a snoozer. I was so mad. Like, we have an Airbnb right now with a couple of the guys that we all work with, and just It was absolute snoozer. Like, we are so tired after a long day of work and just everything else, and we stay up for that. And I'm like, oh man, I should have knew it. I should have knew it, you know?
Yeah, that's I said the same thing. I was like, you know, fuck boxing. Like, every time there's just some big fight, they play on everybody, you know, like, man, Tyson's going to come out. And honestly, looking at this film, like, you watch some of this stuff and you're like, dude, Tyson became a totally different person after the first round. Like,
yeah,
he stuck him that one time, you know, and he was all over the place. He was moving. And then all of a sudden, he can't move. He's wandering around like he's lost. He's biting his glove. I mean, just
he had the Joe Biden feet, man. That's what I was saying the whole fight.
Oh, damn.
Damn, that's a very acute observation, man. Absolutely. And that's the thing is you watch, I don't know how much you guys watched Tyson, you know, growing up. I'm obviously a little bit older, but like to see, you know, how he was performing in practice and doing, you know, all of his sparring. That guy was moving incredibly well for a 58-year-old. You know, he's obviously famous for, you know, his ability to duck punches. Like that guy is never in the same spot. He's left, he's right, he's back, he turns, and then he always hits from the hip. And there are people who are talking about how, you know, this was, you know, I guess kind of staged and contracted to the point where wasn't allowed to even throw uppercuts. And, you know, obviously, you know, Jake Paul was, you know, talking, you know, like basically came over to him at some point and people are like, hey, you know, people are saying, if you want to get paid, basically you better start pulling your punches a little bit. So yeah. There's all sorts of things floating around, but this happens every time in boxing. I feel like every time there's, you know, some huge match, you know, especially if it's a Floyd, you know, Mayweather match, right? Like that
Mayweather and Pacquiao. Like, oh, that was, man, more of a snooze than this one.
Yeah, you think back to, like, some of the Lennox Lewis fights. Boxing, to me, has just always been this dirty-ass promotion sport where guys come in. Sometimes, you know, they take a couple blows here and there, but there's no great matches. And, yeah, you're right. Like, maybe Pacquiao back in the day and some of those guys, De La Hoya and some of those guys did a little bit more, Roy Jones Jr. But, man, I'll tell you what, like, this kind of event like this, you know, MVP, whatever productions, I think those were the guys that, you know, put it on through Paul. Those guys obviously won the fight.
Well, and like, I think there's, I think there really is like a lot of, I think there's credit to the stuff that's circulating around the contracts that went out for this fight, particularly like the stipulations that held Tyson back. Because there was that TikTok video, I'm sure a lot of people saw it, where the guy was kind of like going down the line of like the stipulations. Like if Tyson would have knocked him out in the first round, he got no money. Right. If he would have knocked him out in the second round, he got very little. In order for him to get the full $20 million, he had to last all 8 rounds.
Right.
And from the research that one of my buddies at work had been doing while we were watching the fight was that he was essentially bankrupt. Like this whole time, like he's basically got no money up until this fight. So like if that is the case, if that is true, it makes sense as far as like a business decision that he blasted all 8 rounds and he held himself back so he could get the payday. And it also justifies and explains why he called out his brother at the end, because he's like, I got the money now. I'll knock out your bitch ass brother. Like, I'll do that. Like, they got no problems with that.
He should.
And I like that Logan Paul, when he called Logan out, if you guys were watching, like you could see the shock on Logan's face. Like he didn't know what to do. He's like, what? Like, I'll kill you, man. It's like, no, you won't.
My son was actually telling me about that today after we were talking about it coming home from practice last night. He was like, yeah, man. Like apparently Logan said that he'd fight him. And he was like, okay, let's go, man.
It was a good time though.
Yeah.
Mike definitely could have knocked him out though. I mean, you could tell Mike was holding back. He never threw any punches. It was just, I was shocked by what I seen. It was almost like a humiliation kind of thing. You know, I kind of felt bad for the guy, but he got his money, so I guess he's happy.
Yeah, you know, humiliation rituals.
There are some theories around that.
Yeah,
too.
That's what I'm thinking.
And particularly talking about humiliation rituals for prominent black characters. Like,
oh,
Yeah. No, it is a thing for like particularly athletes, rappers. Like there's, I mean, that's getting into all the satanic stuff. So we might have to save that for another conversation.
Weird Diddy stuff. But yeah. We digress. We're here to talk about Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining. Matt, I mean, you are the creator of some of the, I guess, most decentralized tech in Bitcoin. And I think it's rapidly gaining traction. There's obviously a giant need. Now, I mean, that's kind of the name of the game here in Bitcoin is decentralization, where, you know, if you've opted into this parallel economy, this parallel money, this parallel culture for that matter, that you're maybe picking up the mantle and doing your piece by either running a node or doing a little bit of mining. And you guys have made that, really possible for the average person out there, even if they only have a little bit of Bitcoin.
Oh yeah, man. I think the ethos of Bitcoin mining is changing. I think that people are really no longer interested in huge, you know, these huge expensive miners that just run hot, and it's like it costs about as much, you know, to run your home as it, like your, the miner, the bigger miners are basically like powering up another home. You know, some of these things have 2000, 2500 watts, you know, that could be as much as a home utility note, each month, you know? So I think over time, and especially as the difficulty rises and, it kind of gets harder for folks to hit a block, I think mining itself just becomes on a more micro level, like what we're seeing. It everyone definitely feels involved. It helps decentralize Bitcoin even further, and there is always the possibility that you can hit a block with one of these small devices. So I think it's just it's a super awesome project. It is an open source project, so it's not our product by any means. Anyone can build a BitX. Anyone can source all the raw materials. The hardware, the firmware is open source as well. So if you were feeling like you wanted a really cool project to do for the weekend or something like that, or maybe even a week, depends on how good your soldering skills are, you might be able to make one for yourself. So that's what's really cool about it, is that it cannot be shut down. It cannot be regulated, because the material lists are out there, and open source means that, you know, there's a global effort to keep this project going. So it's like a global game of whack-a-mole. You know, there's really no way to shut this thing down.
Well, and that's one thing that I particularly love about you guys, and then like the guys at Mestastic. Like between you two groups in particular, like the fact that you guys are openly talking about how everything's open source, you're not trying to make anything proprietary, and like the whole fiat commercial enterprise like game, you guys are just like, if you guys want to build it your own, like it's all out there. Like you don't have to go through us.
Yeah.
And like, which is perfect for me, because I'm not that guy. Like I don't have soldering skills. I don't want to spend the time to build it. I just want to pay you guys a good lump sum of money so I can get the product built by professionals, and I can trust you guys to do that, because I don't trust myself.
Oh yeah. And that's where a lot of the retail sales, you know, just the whole retail industry comes in. You know, open source, it's a really, really competitive marketplace. It's about who's being the loudest, who's, you know, how good your marketing skills are. There's so many different things that go into it. I mean, you really have to be very strategic and move quietly and attack when the time is right in the open source market, because everyone can do what you're doing. So we like to think that we make a lot of waves in BitX. You know, we're loud. We like to try to make people mad that Bitcoin mining is centralized, because people won't act unless they're mad. You know, everyone gets complacent and they think Bitcoin's won because the price is high and this and that. But I don't think it necessarily, you know, it doesn't necessarily work that way. I think if you get complacent, you know, you get comfortable, and if you get comfortable, you know, you could die. So I don't like to be comfortable at all. Obviously, that's why I never stop. My whole day from start to finish is being on go. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I think about the open source. Just open source businesses in general, or businesses that sell open source products, you have to be special. You have to be doing something different, not just one time, but all the time. You have to stand out.
I freaking love that we've got you on tonight, man. Like you just said everything that I appreciate, like the whole anti-complacency. Like I'm one, and Shane knows this. A lot of the Bitcoin veterans know this. I hate it how much the Bitcoin community is like, we've already won. I'm like, no, that's exactly how you fail. Like, shut up. Like, go back to work. The work is not done. It's never going to be done. Stop acting like you crossed the finish line, because the finish line doesn't exist.
It'll never be done. You're never done. Never done. Never, never.
Until they put you in the damn dirt and then you're done. That's
it.
It.
That's when you're done. And Bitcoin's going to live forever. It's digital, so it'll live forever unless the world ends, and by then who cares, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, if you're out there and you're listening to this, I mean, if this doesn't put some lead in your pencil, man, like I you're messing with me, you know what I mean? And I mean this, like, guys, like, especially if you're younger guys, if you're in the military, if you're getting out of the military, you guys kind of understand, like, there's something wrong with the current system out there. And I think what's wrong is exactly what Matt has tapped into here, in the opposite direction, where we're looking at trying to make sure that young men understand that, you know, masculinity comes along and you've got to grab that thing, man. You've got to ride that thing and white knuckle that horse until it absolutely dies. And that's burning the wick at both ends. That is getting after it. And to hear, you know, somebody who's, you know, going out there and doing this, even in an open source area, which is obviously a very hard place to compete, is making a name for themselves. That's just a testament to, you know, not only your character, but I think the human spirit. And I think more people need to be inspired by, you know, well, what can I do? Like, man, stop asking what you can do and start learning, start that knowledge base. And I guess my question from that is, you know, when did you get started and how did you build your knowledge base, and who would you kind of credit with, like, getting you turned in, you know, turned on to Bitcoin?
So, I've honestly, I kind of got myself into Bitcoin, and the reason why I say that is because I used to try to be one of those intraday stock trading guys, man, and I could just never get it. I would get smoked like 10 times out of 10. I never could be a trader and make money and all these things. And, you know, you're always taught that if you want to make money and be successful and get anywhere, you have to invest, right? And I know invest is more of a long-term thing, but I tried like the short-term day trading thing, and it just never worked out. And that led me to looking into stocks and why they move the way they do. And then that kind of just led me into reading about the economy. And I really liked learning about the economy, because you'll never learn everything about it, because there's so much to know about just the broad economy in general. And that's not even including the global economy, you know. So I started looking into more like macroeconomics, and then kind of found Ray Dalio's literature. Found a lot of his YouTube videos, and then started buying some of his books, and really started learning about how the economy works, and then hearing about interest rates and the Federal Reserve. Well, that got me into buying the Creature from Jekyll Island and reading about the Federal Reserve. And then I just kind of jumped in the water after that. And I was like, well, if the system is an entire scam, you know, basically was my grand conclusion from everything. Like, everything's rigged and set up, and it's basically all just artificial interest rates and inflation. I was like, what's really going on? Like, where can you really put your money? Because if all of this is fake, then nothing's really valuable. And then I picked up the Bitcoin Standard, was one of my first books. You know, I read that one, and then I started watching Andre Antonopoulos on YouTube, and then I started reading his book Mastering Bitcoin, and Eric Yates, The Seventh Property. And I mean, after that, it's just so hard to not go in. All the points that everyone made is really convincing, but when you think about it, I'm a free thinker too. Like, I won't do something just because people tell me to do it. I'll actually do the opposite just to be a rebel. Like, that's just me by nature. But from reading the literature and then just thinking about how everything works just in life, because Bitcoin, when you think about it, is kind of everything. It's not just one thing. It's everything. And everything that I read made sense. And I just went completely off the deep end. And obviously, at first, I just started buying and holding. But now with Solo Satoshi, we actually transact in Bitcoin. And the reason why that's so special is because that no central government or central authority could ever shut our business down. You know, they might be able to take our website down. They might be able to, you know, stop bank payment processors, which we've already had happen. You know, the banks tried to attack us because, you know, they pick up on keywords like Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining, and it goes against their system. So, you know, we got banned from a few payment processors along the way. And if it wasn't for Bitcoin, actually using Bitcoin, not just holding it, but using it, I think you're supposed to use Bitcoin too. There's like a two-sided party here in the Bitcoin community. You're supposed to save it, or, you know, there's people who say spend it, and then there's people who say save it. Well, I say you do both. You just spend it on things that you really want. It makes you think about what you really want to spend money on. Are you going to spend Bitcoin on a piece of bubble gum? Probably not. But if you find this once in a lifetime opportunity, this property somewheres that, you know, it's a dream you know, it's really going to make you prioritize what you want to spend your money on. So, but that's what got me into Bitcoin. And then, honestly, Bitcoin has saved Solo Satoshi several times from the system just trying to attack us through the banking system. You know, just all that good stuff. I mean, Bitcoin's the shit, man. I mean, that's my grand conclusion. Bitcoin is freedom. Bitcoin is freedom. That's where I'm at.
That's awesome, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
Like,
what do you follow up with that?
I know that was a lot. My bad, but
no. I mean, how long ago did you build your first miner?
So we actually, buy them already configured or already manufactured, and I guess I'll give you the breakdown of kind of how Solo Satoshi started. So I work for I've been in the high voltage industry for a good little while. I've always worked in field services. Well, there was an event that happened at work, which eventually I'll disclose this, but at the moment I'm just going to keep it kind of just, you know, I'd rather not disclose it at the moment.
Oh, it's all good.
Yeah, keep it mum.
Some crazy stuff happened at work. And I ended up getting terminated from my job. And, you know, it kind of put me in a dark place for a while. I really didn't know. All I've ever known was working since I was 15. And I've always worked these crazy jobs and these long hours. And I've always had work. Like, no matter what happened in my life, if I was having issues with my parents or, you know, a girlfriend or a wife or, you know, whatever, like, work was always there for me the next day. If I didn't know what I was doing that night, I knew what I was doing the next morning. I was going to work, right? And I think that's just always built me to be caused me to be a productive person in life. So I like to think of myself as productive. Well, during that time, I got kind of like in a funk, you know, and I started thinking about the company, the way they terminated me and did what they did, I had a real bad taste in my mouth. I have a hard time forgiving people as a person. It's something I'm trying to work on. But when someone does me wrong, you know, I don't immediately come crawling back because I'm not a weak person. I'm a strong-minded person, and life has just kind of made me that way. So I started thinking of business ideas. And I started trying to do something with the electrical industry because I'm in the electrical testing industry. So I'm a high voltage technician, but we do a lot of testing and stuff to make sure that all these apparatuses and different devices are ready to come on when the customer is ready to take on power from the grid. So I started making these things that help out other technicians just like me do their job more efficiently and not be all over-engineered. You know, I want you to be able to fix this thing with a screwdriver, you know, just like all the old stuff we used to have. Now everything's so electronic, you have to send it off to a manufacturer and whatnot. So I started dabbling around in that. And then I've always wanted to get into Bitcoin mining. Well, I had been talking to this guy, a real nice guy from Colorado, about getting, like, I was going to turn my whole outside shed into a small little mining facility. I was going to put insulation in the walls and put a small mini AC unit in there and have all, you know, have the network switch running out there, have Wi-Fi, all kinds of stuff. But it was just always so freaking expensive, man. Like, I would have had to upgrade the main breaker to my home. I would have had to add, all kinds of new electrical infrastructure to the house just to make this happen. Like, take an outage on the house, have the utility company come out. And it was just a crap load of money at the end. And honestly, looking at how competitive and unprofitable Bitcoin mining's been lately, even on a larger scale, you know, I'm glad I didn't do that, because I would have went totally under on that. That would have been a terrible decision. Well, along the way of trying to figure all that out, I come across this small device named BitAx, and I'm like, what the hell is this thing? So I start reading about it, and it's an open source project, has one ASIC chip where these other devices have an upwards of, you know, they'll have over 100 to 300 ASIC chips, you know, or less. And started reading about, you know, the possibilities of actually hitting a block in this. So I decided to get one. And when I got one at the time, I bought one from from, I guess, what I would consider a larger company. But and they're known. But when I got it in the mail, I was really surprised at how small it was. I mean, it's like, it's smaller than an iPhone, you know, if you have like an iPhone Plus. And I paid $300, like over $300 with shipping, taxes, and everything for this thing. And I was so mad. I was like, because I started reading about the project too. And I'm like, this is an open source project. Like, why is this being made so non-accessible to general Bitcoiners that would really want to get into this? I mean, I'm looking at this, I'm like, I'm buying this because I'm passionate about Bitcoin and I want to try to get into mining, but no one's going to buy this for $300. Like, there. So I ended up talking to the lead engineer behind, or basically he is the creator of BitAx. His name's Scott, super great guy, amazing guy, actually has helped us out several times just with knowledge and sourcing and everything else. I talked to him, and I actually loved the one I had so much that I started looking around for bulk discounts. I wanted to run 10 of them, you know, because it's like a little lottery tickets. The more you have, the higher your possibilities are of actually finding a block and whatnot. So I started trying to source 10. And in that process, Scott ended up turning me over to the manufacturer. And he was like, look, here's a guy. He makes them. He was like, he might make an exception for you. He only sells a minimum quantity of 25 at a time, but go ahead and talk to him. Well, when I started talking to the manufacturer, he told me how much he was going to sell them to me for if I wanted 25. And I'm like, these guys are absolutely ripping people off. Like, the devices are nowhere near, $300. And I understand the way the world works is capitalism. There's margins. People have to run businesses, whatnot. But these devices were being sold like a novelty item, like a really, really expensive novelty item. So I wanted to come into the market and I wanted to make this more affordable and convenient for everyone. And I wanted to offer this. I wanted to offer it for a cheap price. And I wanted to offer literally some of the best customer service anyone could get, because in the end, that's what people really want. Everyone wants to feel special. So we try to make everyone we deal with in our email, in our inbox, feel special. If someone has a support issue, we will literally replace it. Like, when we say a 30-day money back guarantee, like we stick to that. You know, if someone gets a defective unit, we stick to that. But that's how I got into BidAx. I got into BidAx at such a dark time. And I went through so much stuff, you know, just questioning me as a person, questioning who I am, you know, and just trying to stay productive, trying to keep my mind off everything, you know, trying to keep them demons out of my head. And what's kind of crazy is I'm back with the same company. I made them pay big time for what they did to me. We're on a lot better standings now. I got a better pay increase and stuff like that, and I have a little bit more status at the company. But yeah, that's how I got into BidAx. It's a pretty wild story.
As far as strategy goes, and that with that new information at the end, I would recommend not disclosing what happened with you and that employer until after BidAx is your sole thing, man. Yeah. Just to keep you protected.
yeah, for sure. And I don't you know, this is a rare occasion for me, man. I don't speak publicly a lot. Obviously, we don't have a lot of time, so our time mostly gets devoted to customer service and getting packages out. And I'm actually on the road a lot. Hunter, who's my he's my business partner. So me and Hunter are 50-50 solo Satoshi, and he takes care of a lot of the logistics, or actually all of the logistics and fulfillment, and his wife helps him out with that. So they're absolute troopers. I know he's not here right now. He must have had some issues with his phone, but Hunter, if you're listening, man, I really appreciate everything you do, and definitely couldn't do it without you guys. But just know that I know that, you know, I do run the social media account, and I do what I call all the shit talking. You know, I'm the one that gets everyone all upset and all worked up and all excited for the next new thing. But those guys behind the scenes, I mean, Hunter and his wife, they're really doing like all the work. I mean, posting on Twitter is really easy. I've always been good at social media, so we kill it on social media marketing too, but those guys are absolutely killing it. I mean, they get out hundreds of packages just on a Saturday and Sunday. I mean, it's wow. Insane. Yeah.
Well, and there's also always an opportunity for my blanking right now, cause I'm thinking, Hunter, sorry. I was thinking, cause like, I wanted to mention that Eric in the live chat on Twitter said he can confirm your guys' customer service is awesome. What I was originally going to say is that, if Hunter ever wants to come on individually and talk BitX, especially or Solo Satoshi, especially if you guys have anything new you want to talk about, or just like some success metrics you want to brag about that, like maybe you don't spill here. Like there's always that opportunity. Like there's nothing that says like you guys have to come on together every time, or there's only one opportunity to come on like BV. Like you guys have an open door. Like just yep. You like really just like message one of us and be like, hey, we want to come on. It's like, all right, we'll find a time for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, you guys are great. Y'all are always reaching out to us, and I wish it was more mutual on our end that we reached out as well. We're just so freaking, we got more just guys. Literally cooking all the time, man.
Yeah, we got more guys, dude.
Yeah.
And if you guys haven't followed him on X, man, go out there and follow him. It's at Solo Satoshi. And give these guys a follow and keep up with them. You guys are doing giveaways all the time these days.
Yeah, it was something, like I said, man, we're always, like me, I'm always trying to think of what we can do different. Like, that's literally, I feel terrible because I work so much, and Hunter and his wife does so much. So I'm like, what can I do to further, you know, put us on the map and give back to everyone? I mean, everyone's been stolen from so much from this corrupt ass system their whole life. I'm like, yeah. We're so fortunate. We're doing great. Like we're crushing it. You know, we're selling BidAxes like candy. And, you know, I'm like, we can give back. This is something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to give back. And, you know, that device goes out to someone, and you know, it might pique someone else's interest, and you start getting that network effect with BidAx. You know, everyone starts getting interested with it or interested about it, and it's the ultimate conversation starter. Like, people are like, what the hell is even that thing? You know, it's running on your desk at work, and you're like, It's basically like a little lottery ticket, you know. It's a Bitcoin miner, and it sparks up a whole conversation. People love them.
Or in Jordan's case, inside your Denali.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, yeah. While we're running ops in Western North Carolina, he's got a BitAx just churning in there. You gave me a really good segue into talking about, you know, this in terms of the lottery and the odds. Are you familiar with the equation in terms of the odds of mining a block here in Bitcoin?
The odds.
Yeah. Uh-oh, did we just lose audio there? The odds. See ya. Matt, if you're having trouble with the audio, it sounds like your audio just kind of cut out right when you said the odds there. For everybody else out there, I did a little bit of research on this in terms of probability, and if the hash rate is your miner and the total hash rate is the network, then the probability is hash rate of the miner over hash rate of the network. Yep. And so earlier in the chat, somebody was telling me that we hit 900 exahash today. Yeah. That's fucking nuts, man. Like, I mean, if you think things are screaming now, man, 900 X, I mean, just a couple months ago, we were sitting around, what, six? And now we're up at nine. So if you do the math on this, it basically works out to 1 in 900 million. 1 in 900 million. Those are not great odds. However, I think if you know, and Matt, if you get back on here or reconnect, man, you can correct me. I think BitAxes have, you know, mined at least three blocks since the conference, if I'm not mistaken, and he would probably know better than I would. And you know, I don't know if that's all public knowledge. I guess it does say under the mempool who mines every block. So
yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I guess you can. I forgot you can't multitask. I was gonna try to. So on our website, we actually have a solo mining calculator. It'll calculate the odds. You can calculate your electricity bill. A lot of things that mitigated a lot of questions that we get, because we would get those questions all the time. So,
speak of the
yeah. What I was gonna say were the odds are very slim. However, I take this from Scott because he's such a good person. He doesn't want to advertise Bitcoin BitAx as like a lottery ticket, and I respect that. So we definitely don't. But he said the odds are very slim, but any day could be your day. So I mean, it's true, you know. But to talk on how many BitAxes have hit a block, to my knowledge, and it's a very big deal when it happens. So the only one that I actually know of is the one right before the conference. And it was so crazy because we had gotten asked by Scott to run the BitAx booth in Nashville. It was so wild. And I think we were 3 hours or 2 hours outside of Nashville, and we had like 500 BitAxes with us. And I was like, dude, I was talking to Hunter. It was just me and Hunter. And I was like, I don't know if we're going to sell all these things, man. Like, this is crazy. We're like, you know, we're driving like 90 miles an hour trying to get there, just all excited. And we were talking about how good we thought we were going to do. And all of a sudden, I swear the phone just starts going off the ringer. And I'm like, bro, what's going on? Like, my phone is just vibrating and ringing and chirping, and Hunter's is doing the same thing. And then we started getting messaged that a BitAx actually hit a block, and it was like verified. It was in the mempool, and then it was on CK pool, and he came out and said it. The guy that runs that pool came out and said it, and it was just like this huge thing. And I tell you what, if we had 5,000 BitAxes, we probably could have sold all of them there. It was so wild. It was probably one of the most popular booths, that, just because of the news, you know. It was a very popular booth. We met a lot of great people. It was a great time. But to my knowledge, only one BitAx has actually hit a block, and there was another miner that just recently, another solo miner
that just hit a block to something more on the small scale. I think it was trying to think of the name. I can't remember, but it was another small device as well. So there have been a lot of solo blocks mined, but it's guys with a lot of power, like it's some big boys out there. But when BitAx hits a block, it's a big deal. So all I know of is one at this moment.
One in 900 million, man. So you're saying there's a chance
there's a chance.
You know, anecdotal personal story. A lot of times, you know, we homeschool here, and so I'll bring kids in here either, you know, as a group or individually and teach them some things. And, you know, if you're not teaching your kids about Bitcoin, and possibly their inheritance and how to access these things, you know, if in your untimely demise, maybe you should, and it'll open up all sorts of questions. One of those things that opened up while my wife was in here overhearing one of the things we were talking about was I was talking about the BitAxes, and she said, you're telling me that you get over three Bitcoin right now for mining a block, and one of these has already done it. And I said, yeah. And she says, and how much do they cost? And I said, oh, you know, they're a little over 100, 150 bucks. And she says, and you don't have one? And I said, no. She said, why not? So immediately I went on your website and bought one. She said, you should definitely be running one of these in the house. And so I'm still looking forward to getting it. But I was going to ask you, man, the Nerd QX Axe Plus, they're the quad chip, that's a 2.5 terahash. You guys are sold out of these things. Has this just been met with all the passion and glory that you guys thought it would be?
Well, so a little bit of breaking news. We haven't officially released it yet, but we'll release it here. So I listed those in the hopes that we would actually be able to import them from overseas because they're made in Spain, and we are actually getting some of the devices. So that out-of-stock notification or tag will be coming off, and we will be having those for the holiday season. So
I'm gonna need a personal text message from your phone telling me when they go live so I can go on and buy a bunch for Christmas.
You can literally go on the website now. Yeah. Hey, if you want one of these, go on the website now and you can sign up for a notification through your email. And you'll get notified.
All of you guys watching, you have to wait until after the podcast is done when I can go do it, because you can't get in line before me. Just saying.
They are badass though, man. It's going to have that beautiful Nerd Miner screen. It's going to have that display. It's going to display the Bitcoin price, you know, and all the other goodie, you know, all the other information that the stats from the miner. As far as the Nerd NOS, that's an open source project too, by our buddy Want Clue, and another group of open source developers. That's actually going to be a Nerd Miner upgrade, so it's just a hardware upgrade. You'll take that Nerd Miner, you basically take the guts out of it, put in that new board. It's going to be more powerful. It'll boost up the Nerd X or the Nerd Miner a lot. So that's a really cool project too. There's so many cool things happening in the open source community, you know, and it's unfortunate no one really shines a flashlight on it. And that's something else we want to eventually try to transition into. Like right now, we're just really spread thin and volumes through the roof, so we don't have time to implement all the cool ideas we want to do. But we want to give these open source developers a platform as well. And that's where we really try to pride ourselves. That's the area where we really try to pride ourselves, because there's so many cool things happening and no one knows about it. And it's not right. Like, it's not fair for these guys, because they are literally working their asses off to create some really cool things and just freedom technology, you know? So we want to try to give those developers a platform. So I'll tell all, if any of you guys are open source developers and you're thinking about making some cool open source project, Bitcoin related, we want to give you a platform. We'll market it for you. We'll sell it on our website. You know, if you can figure out how to manufacture it, you know, we'll help you out. We want to get open source Bitcoin technology, you know, just all these different devices. We want to get this into the hands of everybody. We want Bitcoin to succeed because it's freedom. And the more people that learn about it, the more that future generations will learn about it. And the more that self-fulfilling prophecy will just keep going.
If they would like to do that, Matt, can they contact you here on the website through Contact Us down there at the bottom?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. There's a bunch of tabs to select from. If you're having some technical issues, you can hit us up there and we'll get to you too. But yeah, contact us, man. Just give us a description of what you have going on. You know, a lot of these open source developers, they're introverted. They don't like talking. They don't like the spotlight. They don't like dealing
with customer service. Bitcoiners introverted? Come on,
dude. Yeah. They just want to be productive and not deal with, you know, retail, so to say. Retail is also not for the faint of heart, by the way. If anyone has a retail business, they know you deal with everyone from all over the spectrum of people to deal with, you know, some nice, some not so nice, but we love all you guys. We try to make you all happy.
But and you're gonna primarily deal with the not so nice, because the nice ones usually aren't the ones you're gonna be hearing from.
Yep. So
I had Shane, if you don't mind, I wanted to ask Matt, kind of like take things a little bit of a still Bitcoin mining related, but to Matt, like your experience with your other line of work with the high voltage stuff. So I wanted to ask like what your take on the whole situation in the US is with like the power grid and like what you're seeing in Texas and the state of things there, because I don't know how many of our viewers have seen the Cash Patel and Sean Ryan podcast, but he particularly brought up the topic of like how poor our infrastructure is for power distribution and power generation, particularly the high voltage stuff, like getting to the point of the substations and then from there out to the homes. But I've been talking about it for years, and it seems like we've been shouting out to like an endless abyss that's not listening. But now I think it's starting to gain a lot of traction because Sean Ryan keeps bringing it up. What can you kind of like corroborate like the poor condition of like the US's infrastructure for power?
Yeah, so it's a little bit difficult for me to do that because I'm on the commissioning side. So
Okay. Essentially
I'm always touching brand new stuff. So to me, everything's beautiful where I'm at because it's all brand new manufactured transformers and switch gear and breakers and switches and all that. You know, and we're making all this stuff that never worked before actually work, right? What comes with that too is generally I'm in areas that are being built up because they're not building new stuff in areas that have been around forever, which kind of tags on to what you're saying here, right?
When you get into bigger cities. I guess that's exposing that they're not replacing it, they're just building it, forgetting it, and moving on.
Right, correct. So there's two sides of the business to really what my company does, and one side of it is maintenance and one side of it is acceptance testing and commissioning. So I do the acceptance testing commissioning because the maintenance is just, man, you are dealing with some gnarly stuff, man. Like you're dealing with all the stuff that falls apart, like, you know, I mean, generally when I drive around, I have more of an eye to look at the infrastructure, the electrical infrastructure, than everyone else, because, you know, a lot of people just don't think about it. They just drive right past it. But I see one of those substations on the side of the road in the inner cities, and it's just sitting there rusting away, you know. But one thing I'll say is that after Texas got their ass busted with that freeze, you know, they're really trying to prioritize that the grid stays on now. And I think that freeze that happened years ago, I think it just caught Texas with their pants down, really.
Yeah.
You know, I just think some things weren't quite ready for that. And I think some of the infrastructure or the existing infrastructure was kind of degraded. So when the conditions weren't so optimal, things actually went down. But I'll say since then, the state has implemented mandatory, you know, preventative maintenance, which it's really supposed to be mandatory, but
I think it's just happening a little bit more frequently now. Like, I think before it was every 5 years. Now I think it's like every 2 to 3 years. But well, there's definitely some old infrastructure out here too.
I agree with you. I think what happened too is that we, like, not just Texas, but I think that America in general has gone so long without major power interruptions or events, to the point of where, like, the politicians, local and national, like, they just don't think about it. Because, I mean, that's how human beings are wired, right? Like, we're wired to focus on the negatives and the problems because it helps with our survivability. But I also think it kind of opened up their eyes. It's like, oh, we can't just overbuild a bunch of solar and wind power when it produces power outside the peak demand window. Like, that screws up a bunch of shit. And then you get the freeze come through where those wind turbines don't have the gaskets where they're built to, like, withstand below freezing temperatures. And it's like, oh, here's another reason why we can't overbuild wind and solar, because it's not built for freezing temperatures.
Right.
So we need more nuclear. We need more systems like Bitcoin miners, like the millions of bit axes that can go out and, like, be providing little bits of power demand that are consistent. But also, like, the big guys like Riot and Marathon that are down in Texas that are performing the grid balancing services that people didn't realize we needed until the Bitcoin miners were given a chance to come on online. And you got the Riots, the Marathons, the Clean Sparks that are smoothing out that demand curve. So it's like, oh, when you have a consistent, like, stable demand flow, it's easier to provision the service to everybody and maintain the equipment. Crazy. Yeah, concept.
You want, I mean, like, electricity or generators 101 is you want a steady load. If you keep changing load, things get kind of crazy, right? Yep. And I mean, look, I'm not necessarily against green energy. I'm against scams, right? So
yes,
don't bullshit me and lie to me and tell me that this is gonna be better for the environment. Just tell me it's gonna put more money in your pocket, because that's what's happening here. If you don't know, these things are paying for themselves, like, after the first year. I mean, it might cost $500 million to build a 3,000 or 3,500 acre solar farm, but they're making premium dollar on selling that energy back to the grid. I mean, these things are paid off within the first year or two, and then who knows what happens once it gets sold. You know, I think eventually these things will just be rust buckets on the side of the road. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen, but I think it does long term. But obviously, any step up in production of any industry is going to require more crude oil output or drilling. Yep. And I don't get how some people don't understand that either. Like, hey, look at me, I'm doing this. But yeah, but, you know, this new economy that you've built, or this new addition to the economy, required more output of oil. So let's not forget what's still carrying the economy, like always, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love this subject, and in a minute we're going to hit up our sponsors. The idea also, you know, that our grid is not advanced at all in such a long time in terms of, you know, the real technology that it should, and in terms of keeping up with you know, something that we think about a lot is, you know, the threat analysis out there. EMPs are real, solar flares are extremely real. And both could knock out grids, especially, you know, you get the right EMP in the right place in America, and you can get all three grids knocked out all at the same time. My kids right now, they're reading 1 second after, you know, that's the way we do it in the Hazel household, just early on. This is how good you have it. And this is what's, you know, kind of the problem with America, right? But, in terms of, you know, the EMP and the solar flare side, there's obviously some things that you can do at your house, but, you know, unless you've got a EMP blanket for your house, you know, probably going to have some real issues. Is there anything that you're seeing out there are they doing anything right now to harden the grid against such attacks or natural disasters?
No. Honestly, I don't even think that's really a thought, with a lot of the stuff that, we particularly have been building. I mean, a lot of the stuff I deal with super high off the ground. So something in the south is a big thing in the south is obviously flooding, right? So everything's already kind of high off the ground. Generally, your transformers and kind of other, you know, little janky pieces of yard equipment are like on the ground in the rocks. So, I mean, the cables that attach to all your apparatuses, they are, you know, they claim to be water sealed proof. It's like, it's kind of like a T-body boot. And then a plug goes into the end of it. So they claim to be waterproof, but no, I mean, in my honest opinion, I don't see anything being hardened. That, you know, I deal with a lot of the protection relays, for substations. So, they are coming with the latest and greatest relays, which is good because if something happens, you know, it trips the yard off. But if you're talking about something to actually keep the yard on in the event, no, I don't, there's definitely not any signs of that going on.
And let this be, you know, kind of, you know, just a calling to the Bitcoin community is, you know, and the rest of the world, if you don't understand how Bitcoin is helping stabilize the grid and help keep power on, and improve the grid and keep costs down, you should really study this, because, you know, one of the mandates that should have come out after, you know, reading this book that was compiled by a former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, and a lot of, you know, colonels and generals who go to war colleges so that they can war game and do threat analysis. Those are the guys that pretty much came up with the idea of One Second After in terms of that book. If you haven't read it, do so at your own peril. You'll be living out on the side of a mountain in the middle of nowhere after you do. But let's hit up some sponsors and we'll be right back. Black Sheep Ammunition. Veteran-owned and operated, Black Sheep Ammunition graciously donated 6,000 rounds to Bitcoin veterans for the Nashville Range Day event. Use Bitcoin 10 for 10% off. Black Sheep Ammunition is not made for the faint of heart. They craft ammo for the black sheep, for the watchful defenders called to hunt, provide, and protect, and for the brave patriots who boldly keep watch atop the hill, and for the weirdos who aren't afraid to stray from the flock. When courage calls you to action, Black Sheep will be there to answer. Their mission is to supply every freedom-loving American with enough firepower to get the job done twice. Check them out at blacksheepammo.com. Use the code Bitcoin10 for 10% off. A big shout out to our friends over at Punchplate. Codl.co, that's CODL.co. Punch plates are a durable medium for your Bitcoin and can store 12 words or 24 word Bitcoin backups. Storing your Bitcoin in metal ensures your keys will survive in the elements, accidental spills, and in some cases even fire. You don't have to worry about smeared ink or ripped paper and can sleep soundly knowing your Bitcoin are inscribed on a punch plate. These are the best prices you're going to find in this industry. $24 for a 24 word punch plate. It's simple. It's a punch and a plate. No little letters, no stamps with letters on them. Just a punch and a plate. Go check them out at Codl.co. That's punch plate at Codl.co. All right, we're back. Obviously, Solo Satoshi is obviously also one of our sponsors. And I would play yours, but you know, you've got a whole show here, so we'll... Unless you want me to roll that one, but
it's all good.
Yeah, no, it's if you guys wouldn't mind, go out there and give these guys some of your business. If you don't have your seeds backed up, I don't know what you're doing. Definitely do that. If it doesn't matter if you've got toddlers around, dogs, you've got natural disasters in this world right now, like back up your seed words, please. Put them on something and then maybe do something with them creatively so that they are inaccessible to anybody that would use force or coercion in trying to get those things. That's going to become more of a thing here in the future because obviously Bitcoin is raging right now. We hit an all-time high today, and then our guys over there at Black Sheep, man, you know, no better time to buy ammo. This is your sign. Buy ammo right now. The old man in the White House is being pushed by, you know, some Israelis in our government to start World War III over there in Ukraine. So maybe, you know, in terms of some civil unrest or anything else that goes down, maybe have some backup ammo as well. But We've got Matt from Solo Satoshi here. We had a couple questions that came through and wanted to ask those real quick. Eric asks, what is the effect of BitAxe's overall network security? Apologize if this was already answered. I tuned in late. Matt or Eric, you got to get here on time. Have you guys done any of the math in terms of the numbers of units you guys are shipping and adding to the total exahash?
Well, it's kind of hard to do that because just since we've been in business, and again, I don't know if many people really know. So we've only been in business for 5 months. Now it feels like 5 years.
Wow.
Because it's just kind of crazy. And I know everything just kind of blew up so quickly. So they've had three different iterations of BitAxe, or they actually have more now, but one we don't currently offer. So we've had the Ultra, we've had the Supra, and we've had the Gamma. We actually haven't ran all the numbers yet, but I can give you a quantity amount of devices we've sold, and we're coming up on 4,000 total units. Nice. Sold right now. So I think we're doing our part with hash rate distribution and Bitcoin decentralization. I'm very proud to say that because of how we've built this up. Like, I literally only started this with a Twitter and 460 followers and 25 BitAxes in a box. I had no idea what I was doing.
In 5 months, they've got almost 10,000 followers. That's pretty impressive.
It's been insane. We've made some really good connections with some really good people. We've had really good help. And it's actually surprised us how many good people have come into our lives, or just, you know, business wise, since this has happened. You know, you always think business is always so aggressive and a bad thing and a hostile environment, and it's really not in a Bitcoin business. I mean, you come across some bad actors, right, every once in a while, but for the most part, everyone's laser focused on the same mission, and that's what's beautiful about, you know, Solo Satoshi and having a Bitcoin business and dealing with those people. But we're coming up on 4,000 devices sold. We want to try to make it, you know, 10,000. We want to try to get 1 million BitAxes out there, because that's when the difference really starts happening. And a million BitAxes is really not an out of the ballpark number. It's a very realistic number, and we're talking about a global effort to decentralize Bitcoin mining. Yeah. So it's very realistic. It's very possible. And a lot of people thought it was impossible until a BitAxe actually hit a block for the first time. And the more devices that go out, the more frequently a BitAxe will find a block.
Yeah. When you talk about setting up servers, a node, or setting up a BitAxe, which one's easier for you?
I think setting up a BitAxe is probably the easiest thing. I would say a hardware wallet's decently easy to set up to, but literally our devices are going to come with it's like a postal card with some nice graphics on it. And you're going to have a QR code that takes you straight to a YouTube video that shows you exactly what you're going to see, exactly what you need to put in up to a certain extent. Obviously, you have to put your own on-chain address in the event that your device finds a block and you can receive a payout. But really, it's just getting it connected to Wi-Fi. So, I mean, if you've connected your phone to Wi-Fi or your smart TV to Wi-Fi, or hell, anything to Wi-Fi, all you have to put in is your username and your password. And then you can have some fun with it after you get it connected to the internet. You can start playing around with your hash rate. You know, it's a good educational tool as well. It really teaches people what Bitcoin mining is and how they can play around with it. You know, if you want to run more efficiently, obviously you won't run the machine as hard. If you don't care about efficiency and you just care about raw power, you might push it to its absolute limits. You know, now people are starting to remove the fans and the heat sinks and put all these crazy fans and heat sinks on them and bring out their true potential, right? So you have some people running Gammas, you know, the newest BitAxe at over 2 terahashes. You know, it's a great educational tool.
Got the turbo up to that sucker.
I thought I saw somebody doing liquid cool the other day, and I was like, that is killer, man. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's really sparking a wave of innovation, and it's so awesome. And I knew this would, like, when I first held the BitAxe, I knew this would happen. Like, I envisioned it, and that's why I went all in on this. And
I tell Scott that all the time. I'm like, dude, I'm all in, man, because I know where this is going. I know I can see. I've never seen anything more clear in my life. I know where Bitcoin mining's going, and I know these big expensive machines that these guys are selling, they're eventually going to come down to our level, or you know what I mean, and they're going to start making smaller devices, and they're going to start catering to that crowd, because no one can afford those devices, man. They're way too expensive, and Bitcoin mining's really, you know, it's hard. It's only getting harder as time goes on.
Well, they're loud as hell too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to deal with that.
You can literally run one of these in your office and not be annoyed. It's amazing.
Oh yeah. And I live in Texas, man. I don't need a heater. Okay. We get 30 days of cold, and you know, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Hey, so if you're out there, you know, $175 gets you a BitX, man, and you're supporting a great company. You're supporting the entire network. It's something that's easy to set up. I mean, between that and a start nine, man, you're off to the races. And I think anybody who's really, you know, looking at Bitcoin being this long lasting thing we talked about earlier, he's got you take that little bit of action, add a node and add a BitX. So you're out there, you know, pushing this thing as hard as we possibly can, and becomes part of the culture. That's a pretty amazing thing. A million is not a huge goal, especially when, you know, they're printing money the way they are right now. I think we're in that suddenly phase of, you know, slowly then suddenly, and it's getting faster and faster and faster right now. So we had another question in from Dr. Nick. It said, Matt, outside of decentralization of Bitcoin mining, what other cases for home mining is Solo Satoshi looking into, if any?
We've had some talks of people maybe adding them in parallel with other devices in their home, like refrigerators or anything that has a simple power circuit. There's some people using them on solar panels. BitX is a really small device. That's kind of the beauty of it. It doesn't put out heat. It isn't really loud. So right now there aren't any use cases, I would say, outside of decentralization. But one thing you can bet on is that as these developers who are developing these devices, as they get more funding, and which, by the way, every device we sell, $5 of that sale goes back to the open source developers that are actually continuously developing BitX. So this funds further innovation from those guys. But what I'm getting at is, once more machines or different machines start getting made with more chips, you'll have more heat. And then that could be purposed. Heat is the biggest, I think, is one of the biggest use cases of Bitcoin mining. Obviously, you want to hit a block too, right, and get a reward. But while you're not doing that, you know, in the chase to do that, you can repurpose that heat to heat your home, heat your water up, dry your clothes, things like that. I see that being another one of the biggest market makers for Bitcoin mining as well.
Well, especially for like this wave of homesteading and do-it-yourself stuff here in America. Like, my biggest thing is like the heat, like repiping that and running that to like greenhouse operations. Like, oh, yeah. There's what's his name on Twitter? I think it's Eric. I think Eric might be his first name. Dude, this guy, like the massive marijuana operation.
Yeah, I was on stage with him at Bitcoin. He's great, and he's doing all that kind of stuff with it.
Exactly. Like that's like the perfect like synergy of like you're running Bitcoin mining and then using the heat to enable another line of business, or even just like if you're somebody that's homesteading, like you're piping that heat to support growing food year round. Like, this is a no-brainer.
Win-win.
And essentially you'd be burning electricity to generate that heat if you didn't have natural gas anyway. So it's almost a trade-off. It's probably, I haven't run numbers on it, but it's probably nearly like a trade-off, and you could get a whole lot of Bitcoin with doing so, you know?
Yeah, And you just so happen to like increase the odds of landing a couple Bitcoin earned because you're mining at the same time.
You guys had a post earlier saying the fees right now are somewhere around what, $300,000 a block or something?
Oh no. So that's the block reward and the subsidy. So if you hit a block right now, you'll get the 3.125 Bitcoin and then whatever fees are associated in that block. So that, I think it might be over right now because I was just looking at the mempool and it looks like fees are starting to climb up a little bit. And from what they normally have been anyway, and they've been hardly anything, which is great for business and just great for overall Bitcoin usage. It definitely motivates people to spend Bitcoin more. I mean, I think some guys jacked the price up in the mempool to like 300 sats per byte, per virtual byte, like a couple months ago, and nobody wanted to spend any Bitcoin. I mean, including us, like that's really expensive, right? You start thinking, you're like, is that purchase really worth that, you know? Or you could use Lightning or something. But no, the reward right now, if somebody was to hit a block, would be probably over $300,000 at the moment, USD. That's valued in USD, but I would hope you wouldn't sell the Bitcoin because I do think that's far more valuable than the dollars you would get. And then you would get non-KYC Bitcoin too, which is pretty premium, you know.
Agreed.
Well, you know, nobody reads our pre-show notes, and we've kind of come to that time in the show where we did this thing called story time, Matt, and this falls squarely on the producer's shoulders, and that shithead, man, I'll tell you right now, he's definitely fallen down on his job. He didn't warn you about this, and I know that, but we do this thing called story time where, you know, a lot of our guests will tell a story, you know, comical story, sometimes endearing, you know, where maybe you've had some heartache. A lot of times, you know, veterans will come on here and tell war stories and all that fun stuff that are comical, not sad and depressing, you know. But if you've got a story from your time in Bitcoin or in high voltage that is comical or maybe even some self-deprecating humor out there, man, we'd love to hear it.
Man, I'm sure I have one embedded in my memory somewhere. I mean, I work with some absolute goofballs, man, and although I'm not a veteran, we go through the trenches every day with each other, right? Like what we do is probably one of the closest things to combat. I mean, we're trying not to get killed literally 24/7, you know, by our job. So,
oh, you like real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you, Matt, but like for people that are listening, like the high voltage guys, they're consistently dealing with enough power that could it's enough power. So like an arc flash is enough power and energy to vaporize copper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Like you're talking about these guys, they can literally go up in a pink mist of their own without any firearms being fired.
Actually, one of the first things you learn in arc flash or just NFPA 70E training is that in an arc flash, you could get temperatures as hot as the surface of the sun in your face. So that's to put that in a perspective. I mean, you really can't. It's literally out of this world. So I hope I don't ever see that. I'll probably quit if I live. But yeah, man, I wish I did have like a super cool story. I'm sure I do, man. I've been through so much shit with all the guys I work with. I guess one story I have is about me and my nephew. So my nephew's actually apprentice with me. we found these cats, okay, and I took like all these pictures with them, and then I put them back, okay. Because I didn't want to take them. I really don't like cats, but I took all these pictures and they were like super cute. And then we went to eat at this restaurant the other day. And I asked this lady or the lady that was serving us if she liked cats. And she said, yes. And I showed her these pictures of these cats. And she asked us if we saved them and I put them back. And I said, no, we put them back. And like, she got so mad at us that we put the cats back and didn't save them. So now me and my nephew were thinking about trying to go back and then bring them to the restaurant and give them to her. But at the time, it was so funny, though, because she was so mad at us. Like, her attitude totally changed at the table. You know, it was kind of like me and my nephew have, like, a lot of weird inside jokes. And we were cracking up laughing at the table because it's like she was so happy. And then we just kind of, like, destroyed her when we said no, we didn't save him. But I didn't know what to do with him.
Is this an Asian restaurant?
No.
I get where
oh my god, no. No, it was Saltgrass.
These are racist.
Save it. I don't give a fuck.
That's funny.
Yeah, if you've never been to an Asian restaurant and had cat and you live in America, I think you're probably just lying to yourself at this point. But
orange chicken's good.
What's that?
Orange chicken is good.
Yeah, you probably didn't know it was cat.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have no hang-ups about eating cats. That's how much I like cats. Unless they're outside, like, you know, being, you know, micers and, you know, mousers and all that fun stuff. Like, yeah, no, I really don't have a use for a lot of those things anyway.
Well, plus there's that recent study or information that came out that living with cats increases likelihood for developing schizophrenia in women by like 100%.
Yeah, toxoplasmosis, man. Yeah. Toxoplasmosis is a brain worm and it is nasty. I mean you look around America right now and, you know, there's somebody who's got purple or orange hair that's, you know, freaking about what's happening with you know, the last election and shaving their heads, probably got cats at home and they probably got a pretty bad case of toxoplasmosis.
They have 30 cats.
Exactly. The crazy wine lady with 30 cats at home. Yeah, there's a lot of those nowadays. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Very possible.
Matt, what's in the future for you here and how can we help you? You got about 10 minutes left.
I mean, just generally what's in the future for us is we just want to keep going. We want to keep moving the ball forward. We want to keep separating ourselves from the rest of everyone else because that's what makes us stand out. That's what keeps people interested. We try to keep good content going. You know, we want to try to start up a YouTube. We want to try to do so many things. Like I said, every day when I wake up, I already start in the negative time frame. You know, I'm never caught up. Like I start lagging behind days and then I'll have to pull a 24-hour and then get caught up on sleep, and then I slowly start drifting away, you know, of not getting caught up, you know. So I'm always lagging behind, but I'm always trying to think about how we can separate ourselves. One real helpful thing is trying to get a big following on social media. It's not always about marketing and forcing a product down your throat, but it's about making people aware that these things are going on. These, you know, there are people out there who are not veterans, but they are a different type of freedom fighter, right? They are digital freedom fighters.
Oh, yeah.
They are trying to free you from this debt-based system, which has completely destroyed the world, you know, since it was implemented. It's done nothing but suck all the natural resources off this earth like a leech, you know? And there are people out there who are actually trying to do something about it, and they work very hard. They stay up 24/7. They don't get very much sleep. They don't eat right or drink right, and they don't talk to a lot of people. You never really get to meet these people. They stay to themselves, but they're great people, man. But they are some of the most productive people you'll ever meet. If you guys really want to make a difference in the BitAx community or the people who develop BitAx and other projects, you can go to the Open Source Miners United webpage and you can make a donation from there. There is a Discord for Open Source Miners United. If you have questions, you can go there. You can see all the projects that are being built, anything from the NerdX to Nerd Miners to they have other projects called Bitcrane. And I mean, anything that's happening in the open source mining community, that is happening there. There's so much happening in the space, and something that would, it's not about helping us out. It's about helping the entire community out and blasting those guys and those guys that are doing the work. That's where the change is really happening. we're essentially just a messenger. We are doing a lot of work too. We support these guys and we do as much as we can. We donate and we support them, you know, but these guys, they are the guys that are doing all of the work.
For those that are interested in finding that website, the URL is opensourceminers.org.
Right on. Mike, any closing thoughts today?
I don't, man. The only thing I can think about is immediately getting on to get on the wait list for the next bit axe that I can get from Satoshi. I'm not even kidding. Like, as soon as we get off here, I'm gonna, like, that's the first thing I'm gonna do is create an account. I don't even have an account on your guys' website yet, which is sad enough to begin with, but yeah, I'm gonna be ordering probably a number of these so I can gift them to my family for Christmas, so I can get everybody all lined up and hashing away and see if I can't be the one that helps my family, like, win the lottery and land a block. That'd be dope as hell.
That would be sick.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, Matt, you know, I'm always curious as to who we're going to find out and talk to on the show, man. And that's the thing is with the Bitcoin community being what it is and having these veterans behind it, it's something, you know, special to be a part of. And, you know, I think, you know, this community, especially veterans, is extremely receptive to the blue collar man that's going out there getting after it day in, day out, you know, away from his wife, away from his kids, and trying to push this narrative of freedom. I mean, I think that's why most of us all signed up for the military in the first place, is because we were looking out for, I think, our neighbors and our family. We wanted to make everybody proud. And we wanted to do something with our lives. We wanted to accomplish something. And I think you guys are embodying every bit of that over at Solo Satoshi, man. And so, I got to tell you, this has been a great meeting, man. I hope to meet you in person sooner than later. You know, if I was staying longer in Texas, maybe I'd come by and see you, but it's a real honor, man, to get to meet guys like you and to have you guys working on the same mission as we are, you know, and that is the freedom of the human race, is getting rid of this awful, corrupt system that is, you know, spinning out of control right now. And bringing order out of chaos, you know, in some sort of meritocracy where people who have put in the work, they have put in the effort, and they are providing something valuable for their community and for their fellow man, you know, where that all starts to pay off. And if you guys are out there and you're listening to this and you're not involved and you want to be involved, BitcoinVeterans.org will get you plugged into the chats. We'll get you hooked up with the people that you need to know, whether you're just starting out or you're long in the tooth and you're looking for something to do. There is something here for everybody. You know, the knowledge here is free. Yeah, you know, you ask questions, you get plugged in, people get you answers. Sometimes it's going to be one-on-one. Sometimes it's going to be group. And it's amazing to see what this community has become in just a year and a half. And it's thanks to, you know, guys that are working their ass off in the background. This is just, you know, part of it. We've got the Daily Show, which Coleman runs at 10 o'clock Eastern every weekday. And I got to tell you, the signal is huge over there, man. Those guys are putting out content on a daily basis. And thanks to Coleman, man, for running that on a daily. This group knows no bounds. And as more and more people come into it, I'm excited, man. I'm absolutely pumped, Matt, to have you part of the Bitcoin veterans here. And it's been a real pleasure to get to know you, man.
I appreciate that, guys. We love you guys. We support you guys. And, you know, I guess one final thought just from everything is, to anyone listening, the price of Bitcoin is irrelevant, man. Like, it's good. It's good that it's going up. I get it. It's fantastic. We want it to go up long term. But the signal is in the communities where people are building. That is where you'll go and find value. Bitcoin is very, very valuable. You will go into the open source spaces and find the people of value. The price, it's good that it's going up, but in the grand scheme of things, don't get comfortable. Don't get complacent. Build on Bitcoin. Don't just expect it to retire you and take care of you. Give back to it as well, because that's what's going to keep it great.
Yeah, right on. Matt, stick around after the outro here. For everybody else, we will see you. I think, Mike, you feel like taking next week off for Thanksgiving and let everybody go do their thing, and then we'll come back the week after that.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, I think we're going to make that call right now. You guys have a great Thanksgiving. We will see you the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, and we hope you guys, I mean, we're thankful for all of you guys, and I will say that first and foremost. Thank you to everybody out there who's on this mission with us and busting their ass. You guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you for spreading the word. Thanks for introducing us to guys like Matt. And you guys be good down there, man. Keep working, and we'll keep getting the word out. Until next time, we will see you in 2 weeks. Have a great Thanksgiving. Peace.